traveling the world searching for equestrians of all breeds. The journey starts now on the International Equine Network.
Good afternoon, equestrians. This is Scott Miller coming to you live from Delray Beach, Florida, home of Palm Beach Downs, Delray Beach Equestrian, and Sunshine Meadows Equestrian Village. Glad to have you all with us today. We're getting into Derby time now. It's getting that time of year. We start finding out who's who and who, what's what and where we're going to be. You know, before, like we were talking about getting to the Derby, how to get there, the Kentucky Derby 2025, it's a difficult road to go. You start out with about 33,000 thoroughbred foals every year, and then you nail it down to 20. And it gets to be real tough way to go. A lot of things, you know, like we were talking before, weather conditions make a big difference in where you go and what you do. You got all kinds of problems with weather conditions. And then soreness, horses getting injured, getting sick. You got just a little bit of everything, you know, to get you can get you off the Derby trail. Sometimes these setbacks are just minimal. You know, you miss a week or two, and it really doesn't take anything out of your horse. Other times, you know, it puts you right on that borderline. What should you do, and how should you do it? You know, that's the tough part about it. You know, getting there, you know, with them. You got the owners to consider, the trainers, the jockeys, you know, the racing public as a whole, you know, that you have to do. And there's just so many things that we're fighting here in the horse industry, thoroughbred industry in particular. There's a lot of things that go on that people don't really realize about our business. The economic impact that we have on a community and on a state and on the nation as a whole is very difficult. And one of the things that, you know, we're talking about is decoupling. And the reason I say this is because this is all a major part of getting to the Kentucky Derby. The whole decoupling thing. Right now, there's an issue here in Florida that Gulfstream wants to get away from the casino, and they would decouple. It says decoupling would decimate Florida thoroughbred industry, and it would too, because what I'm getting ready to tell you is how show you the economic impact of just here in Florida. Now, every state has an equine industry, whether it's thoroughbreds, it's everything altogether. It's the whole industry. The thoroughbred breeding and racing industry provides one of the state's most robust agribusiness with 33,500 jobs and $3.24 billion in annual in economic impact revenue. Now, you know, when you think about that, that's a lot of people, 33,500 jobs. You know, the economic impact that they have, you know, like I said, is $3.1 billion. That's a lot of money in a state, you know, to come in. It's a legislation that would devastate Florida's storied athletic programs would never get out of committee. And rightly so, David O'Farrell, president of the Thoroughbred Racing Initiative, said. The general manager of Ocala said. Yet the ramifications of passage of a House Bill 105, it's a Senate Bill 408, would decimate the labor-intensive thoroughbred industry. For what? To enrich a foreign owner who wants to build a casino and a hotel at the direct expense of the racing industry. In particular, they're talking about Gulfstream Park. We were puzzled by the bill because of just last year, the legislature made a major investment in growing the state's agricultural industry, including horses raised and trained and raced in the state of Florida. We believe some of these lawmakers simply don't realize that everything at stake and our mission to educate them. This is just totally crazy. You know, they're talking about a small portion of land to build casinos on, right where Gulfstream Park is at. And the bad thing about it is that the economic impact is the worst possible part of it, but it's the environmental impact. If you tear down Gulfstream Park to build a hotel, you know, a casino and that type of thing, you're talking about hundreds of businesses, small businesses in that area. You know, the corner gas station, the Burger King, everything, the wash machine houses, barber shops, it's just the bagel shops. It's just endless. And, you know, the what we could say would happen there. And that's the sad part, because it's got me very upset, because the Gulfstream's been there forever and a day, you know. And so now they're saying they need to move and modernize, and you know how they're doing these things all around the country, you know, different places and all like that. But what people don't really realize is the impact the horse industry has on our country as a whole. Like I said, 33,000 jobs here in the state of Florida, $3.1 billion in revenue. It just blows your mind. But having said that, and getting away from the statistics and everything, how is it going to affect Kentucky losing Gulfstream? How is it going to affect Arkansas, Hot Springs, Arkansas, losing Gulfstream? New Orleans, Chicago, Santa Anita. It affects all of them, because what happens is you take a cog out of the wheel on the road to the Kentucky Derby. Because here in Florida, just at Gulfstream, we've got three major races that all offer Derby points to get to the Kentucky Derby. Three races that you can go run in. They're spaced quite a few weeks apart. And then you got, and of course, naturally, the Florida Derby, which is the big one that everybody's pointing for here in Florida. Once that goes, then you have to replace those races with those races at other tracks, which the other tracks would be glad to take on, you know, to get more Derby points. But it throws the whole system out of whack. You know, the training, the planning, you know, how they get there. Like if Gulfstream goes, it just leaves us with Tampa Bay Downs. And Tampa Bay Downs certainly doesn't have enough to, you know, cover another 16 horses at their track. You know, that's just not going to happen. There's not that many training facilities that they could go to here in Florida, you know, that could absorb that amount of horses. So it really puts everybody in a bind. All the trainers, the owners, the jockeys, the grooms, the hot walkers, the veterinarians, the people that supply from the tack shops, the hay people, you know, are all going to lose their business, you know, because of decoupling. And that's the bad part about it, you know, because you plan all year long when you're up in, when I was on the track, we go from Gulfstream up to run the Derby. We're in Kentucky for a month. Then we go to New York. Some of our horses go to Maryland. And then we all end up at Saratoga. And then we come back to Kentucky. And then we head back down here to Florida. Well, that whole system and rhythm is going to be gone. You're going to have to figure out where you're going to go with your horses. Are you going to go, you know, do they have ample room for you at Pimlico or Laurel? Where do they go? That's the problem. We just don't know where they go. And I'm telling you, it's going to be a real tough thing, you know, for us to get through. Like right now, this weekend, up this weekend here at Gulfstream Park, a tradition that has been forever and a day. We've got a good card Saturday coming up. We've got the Fountain of Youth. It's a big, big deal for, the Kentucky Derby Trail. A lot of winners come out of here. 45 winners, Kentucky Derby winners, have come out of Florida because they got that nice, winter weather that we have here. It goes along really good. It's hard to say, you know, what they're going to do. But, you know, there's a good 3-4 months down here of training that get your horse ready, and you got a good shot at winning the Kentucky Derby. You know, 45 horses have won the Kentucky Derby out of 150. That says a lot for Florida. And like at Gulfstream Saturday, it's race 13. It's the Coolmore Fountain of Youth Stakes. It's a grade 2 stakes. Post time is at 5:44 p.m. Eastern Time. You can watch it live on IENTV.org, our website. If there, and we've got 8 contenders. And I'll tell you what, this race Saturday could actually produce another Florida Kentucky Derby winner. We've got a good field. We've got Todd Pletcher, Billy Mott, Ian Wilkes, Brian Lynch, Todd Pletcher, Safi Joseph Jr., Dale Romans. We got all the big guns. And this is like the last tune-up race that they need before the Kentucky Derby. Some of these guys might have to run one more race, but it's highly unlikely that that'll happen. It's highly unlikely because a lot of horses put you just right away. And, you know, when you think about it, spring's here. Springtime is here. Winter is gone. And so now, you know that it's time to get ready for the Derby. And we're looking at exactly 2 months away from the Derby. Is what we're looking at. We're looking at 2 months away. And so you get your race in here in Florida. You might have to have another one before the Derby, but it's highly unlikely, to have that happen. There's not that many races that are left. But, this is the Coolmore Fountain of Youth Saturday at Gulfstream. And then at Aqueduct up in New York, we have the Gotham Stakes. It's a Derby prep race. It's $300,000 going a mile. Got a 10-horse field there. Got a lot of good trainers, good horses in there. That's the top key race to get to the Derby. But like I said, we're at March 1st. And now we're looking at, May 1st going back for the Derby. So, we're exactly 2 months away from the Derby. And you got to have your horse fit, ready to go, and experienced, and the Derby points. You got to have the Derby points to get there. And hopefully you're in a good position that you've gotten enough Derby points and don't have to run any more races, to get to the Derby, because they're just not all there, for you. And these are the last handful of Derby points that they're giving out, so you're limited, depending on where your horse stands out point-wise. And then we have out at Santa Anita, we've got this is one of the nicest races I've ever been in. It's a San Felipe, and it's a mile and a 16th, $300,000 purse. You get your Derby points there, that's for sure. So that's what I like about, this time of year. Right here and now, there's going to be probably 30 trainers that are sitting down with their owners, and they're going to watch the 2 races tomorrow, 3 races this weekend. And then they're going to say, Mr. Owner, if you want to go to the Derby, this is where we're going to have to go with these horses. We're going to have to go to New York. We're going to have to go to Hot Springs, Arkansas. We're going to have to go to Louisiana. You're kind of push to the limit on points. Just about everybody has their points. So like I said, we got the 3 Derby races this weekend that are very crucial. But the ones that are left, and like I said, after this weekend here, you're in trouble. You're in trouble because the things that you have left would be March 5th or March 8th would be the Tampa Bay Derby. A new race that's been added in was the Virginia Derby, March 15th. March 22nd, we had the Jeff Ruby Stakes from Turfway. And the 22nd, we got the Louisiana Derby. The 29th, the Florida Derby. 29th, the Arkansas Derby. So as you can see, you're kind of in a real push, to get where you need to go, as far as going to the Derby is concerned. Then when you're really in trouble, you're down to the Bluegrass Stakes, which is April the 5th, Santa Anita Derby, April the 5th, the Wood Memorial, April the 5th, and the Lexington, April the 12th. So all these things, are things that you spent 2 years planning you know, to get there. 2 whole years planning to get there. And now, you know, they're talking about decoupling Gulfstream. And if they get rid of Gulfstream, all the races that we just talked about there are going to be, you know, getting more horses in it, which is good for those tracks. You know, that's good for them. But for the horsemen, it's not good because you've got to be at the tracks that you want to run in. It's not like the old days where you only ran 5 or 6 times a year. You trained at home on your farm like they did at Calumet and Claiborne in Lexington. You know, you could do that, but or in Ocala. But, you know, you need the racetracks and decoupling. So it's a major, major setback to the Kentucky Derby Trail. They're going to have to reconfigure it. They're going to have to redo the point system and, you know, go from there. Now, there's a lot of trainers out there right now that are on the bubble. They might have just a few Derby points, you know, getting ready to go. And these are the guys that, like we're saying on Saturday, it's Santa Anita, Gulfstream, and Aqueduct. Prior to this Saturday, two, three weeks back, they had prep races for these races, you know, that you could get ready for your Derby points. Well, on the undercard, they always had like a 1/16 or a 1/8 race that was on that undercard that you could put your horse in. If you weren't ready to fight the big guys in the Derby points chase, then they give you a little opportunity to run a smaller race on the undercard, but still on the same date, and it coincides with getting to the Derby. You know, and you don't have to get, you know, you don't have to make sure you're running for Derby points every Saturday, but there are races on the undercard that you can race that keeps your horse fit and on the Derby trail. And so now if they do the decoupling, then that's telling you that throws everything all in an uproar, because you're looking at, you know, 3 races here at Gulfstream, or 4 races at Gulfstream to get ready for Derby points. They're going to be gone. You're going to have to go somewhere else to get them, because if you're not running a Gulfstream, you're not getting Derby points. And, you know, Tampa is going to be tough because their backside fill every year. Same thing in New Orleans, same thing everywhere. You know, then you start, you know, hunting for, you know, racetracks to go to. Now, like, we're fortunate here because we have Palm Beach Downs and we got 160 horses there, and Tom Pletcher has most of those stalls. You know, so that's good. But there's no place for him to run. And when Todd came down here 10 years ago, it was great because he was running every week. He was running 3, 4, 5 horses a week, you know, down to Gulfstream and over to Tampa. And so it made it really good because he stayed in sync with getting any horses to stake races or to the Derby. And so now the decoupling thing is, and it'd take 10 years to get, for the decoupling to go through, because they got to do an environmental impact study. They've got to do all kinds of things to see, you know, if this would be feasible for them to do it. And if they were to do it and pass everything, it would take 10 years before they could get, you know, get it done and get the Gulfstream people out of there. So, but that's something that you got to be thinking about. And then all across the country now, I mean, I'm telling you, Churchill Downs is wanting to put another $390 million into their program there so that they can stay in sync with the future of racing in Kentucky. And they just spent like $800 million, you know, redoing the track, redoing the whole facility. You know, so they're doing that. So now the whole thing that I'd get all confused, and I know the business, and I'm confused. So I know how just about everybody else is going to feel about all this. But the long and short of it is that everybody is getting on the bandwagon other than the states that we're talking about Gulfstream and California. California's in trouble with their programming. And what I don't understand is, how can they be in trouble with their programming out in here in Florida and out in California? And then the guy that's kind of been, it's been a nice little place to go to, Colonial Downs in Virginia. They announced Virginia Derby meet at Colonial Downs, and it's going to be a fantastic meet. For the first time in track history, Colonial Downs will host a Road to the Kentucky Derby qualifying race. Now, see, Gulfstream's getting rid of theirs. Colonial's picking up, Derby points races. So it's Travis Stone will be on the mic, and he will call 3 days of Virginia Derby meet set for March 13th through the 15th, headlined by the $500,000 Virginia Derby on Saturday, March 15th. That's the perfect race going into the Derby. That's the perfect race going into the Derby. 6 weeks out, and I'm telling you what, that's going to be the star-studded weekend. You're going to see so many good horses there from all over the country, all over the world, right there, at Colonial Downs. Because that puts you, 6 weeks out from the Derby. Your horse has got time to recoup and, make a good bid for it. And it's going to be interesting to see how many people go to Colonial Downs to run in the Virginia Derby. That's going to be the real, real tall tale sign of what's going on in the horse business. I'm surprised. I'll be there, that's for sure. The Virginia Colonial Derby, it's going to be a great weekend. It's all going to be on FanDuel TV, and it'll be on IENTV.org. On-site coverage will include expert analysts, interviews from Caitlin Free, who begins her third season as the paddock host. So, they've been growing over the last few years. They've really been growing. They're good. They're good there. I'm telling you, the track's beautiful. It's close to Williamsburg, Virginia, West Virginia there. It's really good. I'm telling you, I would be there every day of a meet if they had training there year-round. I'd move from Florida there. So that's going to be interesting. And like I said, all these tracks that we're talking about, like Colonial Downs, they offer some kind of a package that builds up to their main race. Like in Hot Springs, they've got three races that lead up to the Arkansas Derby. In New Orleans, they got three races that lead up to the Louisiana Derby. Florida. These three races at Gulfstream that lead up to the Florida Derby. The Tampa Bay Derby's got a series of races that lead up to the Tampa Bay Derby. Santa Anita, same thing for the Santa Anita Derby. Everybody builds up. It's like week after week, it's some kind of, points race getting ready to go. And it's a good buildup, and that creates an economic impact that's unreal. There's a lot of people that live here in Florida that they go up to watch the, the Arkansas Derby. That's tough. That's a tough meet. It's a good meet. It's a good vacation. You go up for 4 or 5 days and enjoy, all the spas and all the entertainment that you have around Hot Springs. Same thing with Santa Anita, Tampa Bay. Same thing leading up to Tampa Bay Derby. It just creates, it's just not that one Saturday that this economic impact hit. It's the weeks prior to that. The people come into town, they go on a little mini vacation. They go down from the Tampa Bay Derby. They're going over to Clearwater, over to Disneyland or Disney World. They do all that thing. So the economic impact is really something. And the decoupling that we have here, I've talked to people, experts, that have told me that if they decouple, say Gulfstream could stand on its own just with the income that they have coming from the wagering and betting there. I said they would be able to do that. So that's going to be interesting to see, what happens with that. But again, we go back to, all these different meets that we have with have these Derby point races and have something big on the weekend there. You also have festivals that each track, participates in. They have a festival for like the Kentucky Derby Festival. That thing is 10 days long, you know, and they all come in town to see the Derby. And you don't know how many people that I've talked to and that I've met out, you know, in the restaurants and everything, and they're there for the Derby. And I start to talk with them a little bit. And so, yeah, I said, you know, we can't get here for the Derby because it's so crowded and the hotel rooms are hard to get, you know, that type of thing. So what they do is they come down in a week or 10 days of the Derby Festival, and they see a lot of the parades and the balloon races and the boat races. And, you know, they go to the Derby Museum and, you know, they do the whole nine yards, and then they go home and they take that memory with them back home, and then they have their Derby party on Saturday. Well, a lot of people do that here in Florida. They come down here, and we've got people now that are coming down for the Florida Derby, and they're taking a 2-week, 3-week vacation to come down here to do that. You know, so that's a thing. And they do the same thing up at Pimlico and in New York and Saratoga. You know, they take 4 or 5 days now and make a week out of it. And so it's very important, the horse racing is to each state and each community. And so I really hate to see the decoupling, you know, go at Gulfstream, because if it does take Gulfstream out, then you're looking at a major cog in the wheels on getting to the Derby. That'll be devastating and all. But, you know, enough on all that decoupling and all that stuff. Don't forget, we got the Kentucky Derby Festival. It's a great festival. We got all kinds of things to do there. You name it, they got it. It's surprising to see what they have. Google Kentucky Derby 2025. And they'll tell you everything you need to know about it. You don't need to hear it from me. You need to hear it from them. Or as some people say, straight from the horse's mouth is where you need to hear it from. But these three picks and the Kentucky Derby practice to kick off March is really good. I'm telling you, it's going to be an interesting race. And this weekend, in all three of these races, and we're looking at horses that could go on to win the Derby. We're looking at horses that could go on to win the Derby for sure. Outside of these three races this weekend, I don't think there are any horses that are going to jump up and, you know, like win the Arkansas Derby or the Louisiana Derby or Santa Anita Derby. I don't think there's any horses in those regions that are going to jump up and, you know, win the Kentucky Derby. The Kentucky Derby is going to come out of these three races right here because they're all season. The weather's been good. It's kind of like the right amount of weeks prior to the Derby for these horses to run and win, because it's going to take a lot out of them. And the thing I want to know is how many of these Japanese horses coming over could win the Derby. Well, I tell you what, they are getting good, 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 and even gooder, as my little nephew would say. They're starting to get the hang of the traveling that you have to do, you know, with the horses to get here. And the time difference and the feed difference is a big thing. And that's why I've been saying in the prior shows that we've had about the feed. There's a company called Hallway Feeds, and they feed a lot of champions all over the world. And if they got a client in Japan and they're feeding him in Japan, their Hallway Feed out of Kentucky, then they can feed him anywhere. You know, if you're in New York, California, wherever, Hallway Feeds feeds everybody. And they feed them the right food at the right time. And they mix it, you know, personally. It's like getting a prescription filled for your feed when you go to Hallway Feeds. And then, you know, you're right on top of your game. So they do that. So the Japanese are finally getting in sync and saying, hey, this is what we got to do to get there. And they're doing it. And their horses are getting better and better and better. And this year, I think the contention that they have will be one to deal with. I think they're going to be one to deal with. Now, in Europe, the horses that they have over there, it's all grass. You know, it's all grass pretty much in Europe. and it makes it hard for them to make the transition over to a dirt track. Their turf tracks over there are soft and yielding, and it makes it tough. So they do good in the grass races over here. You know, they do good, real good. But the Japanese have finally gone over to dirt tracks in Japan for training. They go the right way. And I say the right way, that's the way we go here. You know, we go the clockwise. And over there, they go counterclockwise. So, and how that came about is when back in the day, when racing really started getting big here in the United States, the horse industry wanted to make a statement against the Europeans and against the king. So they went counterclockwise in Europe. And so when they got here and started doing racing here in the States, they went clockwise as a protest. That's why they go the way they do here. You know, it was a protest against the European horses. And so since then, which has been hundreds of years ago almost, you know, the racings never did, compete against each other. Japan had their own ways of doing it. Europe had their own ways of doing it. South Africa and South America had their own ways of doing it, and we had ours here. And so, you know, that makes a big difference. So all the things that I'm rambling on about today, the whole point of this talk is to let you know that it takes a lot to get a horse to the Kentucky Derby. It's just not you go train the horse and then put him on a van and go to Churchill. You know, you're talking about the training. You're talking about the jockeys. You're talking about a lot of things. I talked to a couple of my friends that were jockeys, and we're going to have them on the show here one of these days. But it's a whole different world. You know, you got to find the right. You might have the best jockey in the world, and he just doesn't fit your horse. And there's nothing you can do about that. And that makes it tough. When you're trying to win a Kentucky Derby. You got to have all the right people there, the right groom, the right hot walker, the right jockey, right owner, right trainer, right horse, right track. You got to have everything. I know horses that were some of the best in the world, and they've gone to Churchill, and they didn't like the track. Couldn't win there. But then they go to Pimlico or Saratoga, and they win. You know, with no problems. And so those are the kind of things that when we're getting to the Derby and, you know, all the things that go on. And then, you know, you're talking about, you know, like I've talked before about some companies that I deal with here, you know, like Walmart is one of them. It's great because wherever I go, I can order from Walmart, and they're on shelf prices, just like you're in a store. But you can order anything you want from Walmart. If they carry it, they'll deliver it to you. They'll deliver it to you right at the racetrack, right at the farm, to your hotel. They even delivered to me when I was in a hospital. I was in a hospital 2.5 months, and I had regular weekly, delivery from Walmart. You know, I could get all my papers and pens and, you know, copy paper from my printer. You know, I could do the whole thing. And so, all these things are important to you. When you just sit down and think about what all you need whenever you go, to the races. You need food, you know, you need everything. And you got to make sure that it's right handy, because if it's not, then you're going to spend a lot of time and money running around getting what you need, and you could be spending with your family and your horses. And it's just a whole big thing here that it just boggles my mind to think about all the things that I do every day, you know, because I'm in the horse business. And what can I do to make my life easier, you know, and make it better so I can spend more time with my horses and with my family, you know, that type of thing. But like I said, these three races are coming up this weekend at Gulfstream Park in New York at Aqueduct and Santa Anita. They're going to be great races to go to. And if you live in that area, just Google, you know, Aqueduct, Google Gulfstream, and Google Santa Anita, and they'll tell you how to get there and, you know, what's there and where to go and what kind of seats you get, and it's really good. It's a good family thing to go to. You know, it's really good. But so that, you know, that's the whole long and short of the horse business. It touches every community everywhere. And it may be a little bit here and even more, you know, somewhere else. But it touches everybody because you're looking at, you know, you need feed dealers. You need all kinds of things for these people to go to. And also, remember, Google horse in your county and your area and see what you got, you know, there with it. So I'm sitting there this morning thinking, like, you know, oh, boy, it's nice being here on the farm. You know, I'm away from the rat race of the racetrack, you know, and the people coming in, getting ready for the big race on Saturday and the traffic, you know, and the whole nine yards. Get up this morning here, get a phone call from one of our trainers. An alligator has chased one of her horses. And I said, what? She said, yeah. She said, you got to get out here to the barn. So I went out to the barn, and we got a 7-foot alligator going up to her barn. And there's horses up there, and they're scared. And she said, oh, they're going for the horses. I said, they're not going for your horses. I said, he's going for the chickens and the ducks that you have down here at the end of the barn. And that's what he was going for. He was feeding. And so I said, well, you know, then I thought maybe it would be nice to be at the racetrack. And I don't have to worry about things like that. And it has just been one thing after another, you know, here. So the whole point of this is the horse industry covers and touches everybody and anybody. For example, the gator this morning. We got to call and get a gator getter out here, a certified gator getter out here. You know, and that guy, he's using gas and you know, stopping and eating at our local restaurants, and that's all part of the horse business. You know, that's all part of the horse business. So I just kept on laughing. Then I got home for lunch, and I said, well, what am I going to do for lunch? I said, do I go out? Do I eat here at home, take the time to eat here at home? So I ate here at home, took the time, you know, got some paperwork done and all. But, you know, the horse business is really good, and hopefully I'm confusing everybody enough to tell them, what the heck was that guy talking about? He said, that horse stuff, that decoupling, what was he talking about? He said, then maybe they'll go down to the track, or they'll go to, you know, one of the breeding farms or, you know, or one of the equine facilities in their area and check it out. So that's what we want people to do. We want them to start taking notice of the horse industry here. Just not Florida, but everywhere you go. So that's what you want them to see. And the one thing that I like the most about it are the kids. To see the kids and all smiling and everything when they come out. And I met some parents the other day, and I told them, I said, you know, that little one you got there, 6 years old. I said, she's riding pretty good. And they said, well, her brother is 8, and he's been riding for 2 years. So I went out to the arenas here, and I watched them ride. These little kids, boy, they're sharp as a tack. They're good. They're working hard. You know, they're sweating. They're not whining and crying. And you know, I just had to admire them and told them that they were really doing good. And you know, I said, that's really good. And I told him, I said, I want your autograph because you're going to be an Olympic champion on TV someday. And oh, they just got all excited, you know, about that. And then I told the parents, I said, you know, those kids are really good kids. And I said, they look like they're going to be good, you know, in the future. And I said, do you realize that they could go to school? They could go to a four-year college like Florida, Miami, Texas A&M. Georgia, they've all got good equine programs, equestrian programs. And those kids can actually get college scholarships just like the football and basketball and baseball players do at college. They give away equestrian scholarships. And I told the mom and dads, and I said, go over and check it out at FAU. See what all the requirements are and what they have to do and what they need to do. And I said, at least you got that information, you know, from whenever you know, in 8 or 9 years, whenever they're going to college, you can go, you know, maybe go on a horse scholarship, you know, and it's all about the journey with that too. How do they get there? You know, they start out riding, you know, as 5, 6 year old, you know, young people. And then they, you know, go up the ladder in the show horse industry, just like you do with racing and everything. And so that, you know, that was good. But you know, my dad always told me, he said, son, he said, it's the journey that gets you there that makes it all right. He said, that's what you're going to have memories of, the journey that gets you there. And so I said, well, I never thought about that. I said, I never really thought about it. So I started taking more interest in every day in what I do, who I talk to, and how I talk to them. You know, and I always get something out of it every day, you know, and thank God it's the horse business. If I was selling apples, I don't think my life would be too excited. I'd still be talking as much as I do now, but I wouldn't be happy. But, you know, that's what this show is all about, is getting people interested into the horse business. You don't have to know a lot. You don't have to know anything at all. But if you go to IENTV.org, you can see some nice racing and see some different things that are on there and make it interesting for you. And you're going to learn a lot about horses. That's the main thing. And then that whenever you go to watch a horse movie or you see John Wayne in the cowboy movies and all like that and see how they're, you know, how they're riding their horses and what they're doing, you know, you'll be a little bit more knowledgeable. In fact, here we've got a gentleman here. He gets all the horses ready for the TV show and for the movie Yellowstone. That's what he does. That's his job, is to get the horses ready and teach them all the things that they need to learn to do on the, you know, on the movie set. And you can see people like that here. You know, it's just unbelievable, you know, what the horse business does. Bo Derrick and her mom are down here in Wellington. They've got some good show horses. Bruce Springsteen's daughter, she rides down here, which is really good. You know, you just see so many things like that in the horse world, and you never do know. I was kind of excited the other day. I was with a group of people, and they came up and he said, you're that horse guy out of Sunshine Meadows, aren't you? I said, yeah, I guess so. I said, basically, all I do out here is pick up trash and collect rent. And that keeps me busy in itself. But yes, I did. And I told her, I said, are you got some, and I felt bad about this. I said, do you have some grandkids or kids that want to come out and ride? She kind of puffed up a little bit. She said, no. She said, I want to learn how to ride. She said, am I too old? And I said, no, you're not too old. I said, we got a nice lady out here that'll take you on trail rides and, you know, take you out in the arenas and teach you how to ride and everything. So she's coming out now, and she's going to be, for the rest of the winter, she'll be here learning to ride, you know. So that's the good thing about everything. And there's so many things that I could talk about, and I ramble and ramble, but hopefully my confusing you will get you saying, what the heck is he talking about? And go to IENTV.org and see what we're doing, or Google horses in your area. You'd be surprised how many companies or people that you have in your area. Just Google it and see what you got. And if you got something close to you, go to it. It's a good family thing. You know, it's really a good family thing. If you ever want to, you know, if you get the people in your families all arguing, fighting with you, and you know how it gets in the wintertime sometimes, well, just come down to the, you know, to a horse farm and see what all they got. And you're more than welcome to come here to Sunshine Meadows. We're on Highway 441, just south of Atlantic Avenue. And then that's where our show horse and standard breeds are at. And then you can go to INTV.org, and they'll tell you how to get here. And then you can go to our Palm Beach towns, which is about 2 miles from us on Atlantic and 441. They're north of us. And then northeast of us, we have Delray Equestria. There, they got a lot of good horses there, a lot of good horses. So there's just a lot for you to do when you come here to Florida. And if you come down here, I spent a whole day driving people around to look at the farm. You know, even though they didn't have any horses here, you know, I'll take them on a tour of the farm, and you know, I'll show them the difference between you know, the show horses, the standard breds, the thoroughbreds. You know, show them all that. And we got, and I tell you, we got one horse on here on the property here he's amazing. He's a pony that Victoria Jackson has had for the last 28 years. And she's owned him that long. He's actually 30. And that his name's Peanut. And he has showed every year for the last 29 years. He has showed up at Wellington, Florida. It's a showground every winter. Now, that's something, you know, when you see this pony. He is the coolest little pony you ever did see. He loves the kids, loves to get out. You know, it's really good. And so we got a lot of stuff for you to see here. Over at our Palm Beach Downs facility, we've had three Kentucky Derby winners over there. We had Monarcos, Always Dreaming, and Super Saver. That's where they train. And so if you were to come down this winter, you know, come and get a hold of me at Sunshine Meadows. And we'll drive right over there. Just like I said, they're about a mile from us here. That's our thoroughbred facility. You know, and you can come over and you can see some of these Kentucky Derby horses training for the Derby this year. And, you know, that's always good to see. And that way, when you're at home or you go to the Derby, you say, I saw that horse in person, you know, and it's running in the Derby. And you can do that. But I'm telling you, folks, it's a good time and a good thing to do. Come and see you know, what all we got. Now, on next week's show, I got some really good video of horses getting ready for the Derby. We're going to talk to some jockeys that are going to the Derby. Talk to an owner that's paying for a horse to get to the Derby. Saddest interview I ever did. He said, you know, he said, my wife told me, she said, you know, it's going to be expensive to get into the horse business. And he said, yes, I do. And so they bought him a horse, and they got him with a good trainer, and spending a lot of money. And first couple of races he ran second and third. And then the third race that he ran, he went. And he said, you know, he said, it was all worth it. He said, that one win, he said, even the second and third were worth it. You know, he said he really enjoyed that. And then my filly, she went out at Santa Anita on the 14th of February, and she came back real good. She's getting ready to run again. So, you know, it's kind of nice. I got a 2-year-old colt that's been down at the farm, and we want to get him running in the next 2 or 3 weeks. You know, so it's all kinds of stuff. You know, and then next week on the show, we're going to go into how you can buy a thoroughbred. And I guarantee you, if you listen to me next week, I guarantee you, you'll be buying a horse. There's a method to the madness of buying horses. And I'm telling you, you'll like it. And I've had four in the last 8 months. I've had four. Three of them won, and the fourth one we sold at the sale at Lexington. But if you call in next week, you're gonna find out how you can get into the business and walk right in as an owner to the track. Instead of buying a $2 ticket to get in, you're going to have an owner's pass to get you right through the gates. And it gets you all access to you know, to the track. So we'll do that. But no, it's business is good. Every weekend now we've got some real good races coming up. In fact, the race that we got coming up this weekend here at Gulfstream, the Fountain of Youth, it's the last prep race for the Florida Derby. And I tell you, it's tough to win the Florida Derby and the Fountain of Youth. It's gonna be really tough to do it, because the amount of days in between them, you know, are really short. But it can be done. You know, you just got to have your horse in the right training mode to do what they do. I'm hoping, and it's all because, you know, Todd Fletcher is out here with us. I'm hoping he does all right Saturday down there in the Fountain of Youth. It's going to be a tough race on him. I like the horse. I did from the get-go when I first saw him come in down here. And his name's Gate to Wire. And we've got Dylan Davis is going to be riding. And so that's a real good combo right there, and he's coming from Post One. And so then 3 weeks later, I think you're going to see him win the Florida Derby. I think that's what will happen in 3 weeks, and that goes by real quick. You know, and if you go down to Gulfstream, Saturday, look for Gate to Wire. He's in race 13 there. And I think you really enjoyed her if you're watching it on TV. The other thing that I was wanting to talk to you guys about, and we've only had two people so far that have sent in, and it looks like they're going to be the winners. You know, with only two, just a flip of a coin, basically, is what it's going to be. But what I'm doing here is we're doing a thing called the Triple Crown Tradition. What it is it's the traditions that are held by horse people and non-horse people all over the country for the Kentucky Derby, the Preakness, and the Belmont, and the Breeders' Cup. I know a lot of people that couldn't tell you anything about a horse other than, they see them on TV. And so what we're doing is we're getting them to send us in the recipes for what they have on their Derby Day and what they have on their Preakness Day and what they have on Belmont Day and Breeders' Cup Day. That's what we want them to do. And, man, some of these recipes are good because I fix them here myself, and just to see what they're like. And, man, this one lady sent us a recipe for Derby pie. Oh, man, was it good. Probably not as good as she makes, but it was good. And then the Maryland crab cakes that we have from the Pimlico for that week up there. Oh, man, the seafood there in Pimlico is just a little bit better during Preakness week. And then Belmont, they got some pretty high-end steaks and, high-end foods that they have, there at Pimlico. And then, of course, the Breeders' Cup, it's just a little bit of everything. It's barbecue, it's seafood, it's sandwiches. It's just there's a lot to it, and I really like that. But that's our Triple Crown traditions. And so send them to me here. You can email them to me. Go to the website. We got all of our contact information there. You can email them to me at ientv.2025@gmail.com. ientv.2025@gmail.com and see what you have. And what I will be doing is in November, whoever the national champion is going to be for Triple Crown Traditions will get two Kentucky Derby tickets to the 2026 Kentucky Derby. And we'll see who does what. So send us in those recipes. Let us know what your tradition is. We had people with had gourmet hot dogs and champagne for their Derby parties. And, it's just a lot of things that Derby tradition doesn't have a certain guideline. It's what you and your family and your friends in the area you're in, it's what your Derby tradition is. You just make one up. Like they had the Derby hats for the Kentucky Oaks and the Derby hats for the Kentucky Derby. Those things are a tradition. And I got a friend that she's been to 15 Kentucky Derbies. And you go over to her house and she's got a bedroom that has 15 Derby hats in it, the big lady Derby hats. And I was stunned. And so I asked her, I said, what do you do with your Derby hats? Is this the Hall of Fame for Derby hats and you retire them? She said, no. She says, I make more money selling my Derby hats than I do working in my job at an insurance company. She says, I make them, She said, I've worn them to the Derby. And she said, and they sell anywhere from, you know, $50 up to $300. Because it's not good to wear the same Derby hat to Churchill twice. Somebody said that was bad luck. So I guess that was a dressmaker that was trying to sell Derby hats. And also, yeah, but it was interesting, you know, to do the Derby traditions, the Triple Crown traditions, see how the horses get there, how they fly on airplanes, how they ride in the vans, how they're trained, how they're broke. You know, we got all that and everything. So that's what we'd like for you to do, either call in or, you know, talk to us a little bit. You can go to my, like I said, to my website, ientv.org. It's got all the information that you need there on it. You can call me here at the farm at 728-888-2963. 728-888-2963. Or my email is ientv.2025@gmail.com. You know, you can get a hold of me there. But I tell you what, there's going to be some lucky winner out there when I get my first winner caller. There's going to be somebody lucky out there, real lucky, and they're going to talk about. In fact, that'll be better than having kids or having a marriage or having winning the lottery. When they win here, it's gonna stun. It will make national news. It will make national news in all the equine magazines and radio shows and TV shows and all like that. But yeah, just give me a call. You know, get a hold of me somehow, way or shape, and you know, we'll see what all's going on. But you know, really, in all seriousness, you don't need to know a lot about horses to look at my website or go to the races or go to the shows or go to the sales. You don't need any equine knowledge at all, because the equine industry is good for the eye. And when once we catch your eye with the equine industry, then we'll have your heart. And once we get your eye and your heart, then we got your mind. And let me tell you, it's something good for the family to do. You can do it anywhere across the country. But it brings people together as a family, family and friends, you know, and that's all because of the equine traditions that you start. There's not a book out there that's going to tell you how to do an equine tradition. That's something that you start. You know, that's your equine day. That's your Derby day, your Preakness day, Belmont Breeders' Cup day, sales day, race day. There's just a lot there, you know, and we'll be glad to help you out with any information that we can. Just give us a call and give us a holler, and we'll go from there. So I've run out of time, and I got to go get the horses in out of the paddock. It's going to rain here, and I really appreciate it. And like I said, it's a family thing. You don't have to be a horseman to do anything in the horse business. I'll prove that. I'll prove that for sure. You know, you just inquire, educate yourself, and then create your own tradition. So somebody call me next week, and you'd be surprised what you'd get. It's getting close to Florida Derby time and Kentucky Derby time. Who knows, a caller next week might be in position to meet me at the Derby. Could be worked out. Okay, folks, have a good week. Have a great weekend. Shake somebody's hand, hug somebody, smile. Tell them good morning, good night, or goodbye. It's your choice. Thanks for tuning in.